This is James from survivalpunk.com. Back with another episode. Had another delay. Some of that had to do with internet problems. I could not, literally could not upload an episode. So, yay for the internet. Some of that has to do with living in a rural area. You know, the dream, the prepper dream is to move to a more rural area, not the urban area where the internet is bountiful. And one of the drawbacks is shitty internet until some genius person, comes up with a better rural internet solution, i.e., what is it? I've talked about it before. It's white spectrum. So everyone knows that several years back, they got rid of the over-the-air TV stations to go to the digital over-the-air TV stations. Well, those were a particular set of spectrums licensed by the FCC that are pretty much dormant now. And if you think about it, the spectrum that TV was broadcast on is a high-speed spectrum. We watch live television in real time, which is faster than you know, what most of the internet is going at now anyway. So get on the ball, guys. Get the white spectrum out there. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about today. Not today. Today we're talking about bugging out with kids and the family as a whole, really. But specifically, we're gonna dig into kids. Yeah. So that's what the episode is gonna be about today. It is Wednesday, March 3rd. No. Wednesday the 6th, 2019. 3/6/19. And it is a ball freezing cold March the 6th. I don't know the date, guys. And it's not even like one of those, I recorded this in the past and now it's the future, so, but it's my past and your future. No. I just can't say the date. It is 16 degrees here in Tennessee. You know, I live in the South for a reason, besides just being born here. I like the South, and I do not like 16-degree weather. I know in Wisconsin you have, like, probably negative 16 today. Yeah, you live in the North. Get used to it. I want warmer weather. Suck it.
After the break, I'm not going to blast that there's a Survivalpunk army. I think there's something wrong with the ordering thing anyway. I've got to try to dig into it and find out if people are even, like, maybe this whole time I haven't got even more Survivalpunk army members because you can't. And then I've heard that, and I'm going to have to hire a specialist or just sit there for like a whole day on, you know, brain smart drugs and try to figure this problem out. And the Survivalpunk forums are broken to hell. So if you're a member, I'm probably going to have to delete the forums altogether and rebuild them. So good times. If you're a website owner, they keep updating the internet stuff, and it breaks stuff all the time. So it's a never-ending struggle. But it's a good one. Let's see, I think that's, there's a phone number. You can call this phone number. You can leave a voicemail, and I will answer said voicemail on the air. You know, if I get enough calls. And, that is not broken. If you call the number, which is 615-657-9104, it will leave a voicemail. I will get it, and then you will be on the air. And I don't know if the area code is discouraging people, if they're like, oh, I don't know if it's long distance. My web hosting provides an 800 number, so I'm going to go get the 800 number and set that up so that I can give you guys a 1-800 number. And then, you know, maybe that will,
ensure more people want to leave voicemails. Or, you know, if you have a microphone or something, you can record it and email it to me, james@strongpunk.com, and you still get on the air. Or, you know, if you want to be old-fashioned, you could just email me a question and I will answer it. With that, let's get into the show. So, yeah, I've never done a show on Bugging Out with Children before, because up until this year, I did not have a children. You know, so I tend to leave that to the people whom had kids, but now I have one. You know, so it's time to start thinking about it. And, you know, Skylar is 12, so it's a bit easier. Like, as we talk about it, you know, like, bugging out with an infant is a whole lot harder than bugging out with a 12-year-old. You can give them more responsibility. You can give them more weight. They can walk a bit further. Kids these days, though, they're not big walkers. Like, you go to, Mike went to Disney with his kids, and his youngest, they had to get a wheelchair for him just because his little legs couldn't take all the walking. So, yeah, kids these days, we're going to talk about practicing the whole walking thing, so it's a bit easier, but, you know, when they're that little, it's, you know, they just can't walk the same amount as, like, an adult who's used to being in crippling pain all the time. Another reason that I was not doing a podcast, I have a wisdom tooth that has been murdering me with pain, and I've been going the route of, like, the army soldier and just killing it with ibuprofen and Excedrin extra strength and BC powder. There's a trick. If you take a BC powder and you just let it soak right into the tooth gum, it works pretty well. So, yeah. Oh. Yeah, and I'm drinking a Kava tea this morning, and if I make shuddering sounds of death rattles, it's because I'm drinking the Kava tea. Oh. It's not wonderful, but it has some good benefits. It tastes like dirt and tree root, and it has a kind of a mouth numbing effect, like, I don't know, anise or something. Anyway, when you are bugging out with a family, there are differences in what you carry and the roles you play in that bug out, which is obvious, of course. But there are a lot of good benefits too. Like, when you bug out as a solo lone wolf person by yourself, you're solely responsible for yourself, and you have to carry everything for yourself. When you bug out as a family, you gain the advantage of not necessarily having to carry everything yourself, but you also have to carry everything for everybody. You know, so you have more people that you need to transport supplies for, but in a lot of cases, you have more people to transport that supplies. You know, like, the obvious thing that popped up in my head is, you know, when I was bugging out, my bug out, you know, shelter system was, it started out as a Eureka, one person solo hiking tent, which is really lightweight and fits in the bug out bag easy. You know, a family three, four or more, it's not going to do the job. You know, it's a one person tent. If you had two really tiny emaciated couple, you could fit two people in there. But no, it's made for one person. You'll get one person in there. That's it. You know, so obviously you're thinking about, you need a bigger shelter system with a family. And that's going to take up a lot of space in a bag, but you can designate that to one person, or you can even split it up. Like the dad can carry, you know, most of the stuff. The mom can carry the poles and the tent pegs or something. You can kind of split that up a little bit, you know, or save weight by just carving your own tent pegs. But the ultralight, like titanium tent pegs, weigh nothing and they take up no room. So there's no reason not to just have some. So yeah, you know, you're going to have a much bigger tent. So, you know, you can have, say, just the dad carry the tent and some of the other stuff that gets displaced from him carrying, the mom can carry, you know. So maybe you can't carry extra socks or, the med kit or whatever, but you know, mom can, you know, it's very symbolic of the family unit, you know, like you can't carry everything, but you have more people to help you carry it. You know, it's a partnership, not a solo show, you know. So yeah, there's obviously a lot of differences, and you know, kids, depending on their ages, are not going to be able to carry that much. You know, when you get into like teens or preteens, they can pretty much be self-sufficient. They can carry most everything they need. Toddlers, you know, they can carry a few things. Like they can have a little backpack and they can carry their snacks and stuff. So you're not being a snack bitch. But besides that, you know, it's the mom and the dad are doing the primary amount of carrying. And there are a couple ways to alleviate that chore. You know, if you have infants and toddlers, then having a stroller, like a off-road running stroller that you can strap and carry some extra stuff on for, you know, great idea. So yeah. So the next thing to really consider is the ages of the children you're bugging out with. You know, and like we said, different ages come with wholly different problems. You know, whereas an infant, a baby, they're not going to be able to carry anything for themselves. And not only are you going to have to carry supplies for them, you're going to have to carry them. You know, or like I said, have one of those strollers that's made, you know, off-road running stroller. Which, you know, great that the soccer moms have decided to take up hiking as a sport, and that there are now options available for these off-road strollers that, you know, you could take on a bug out if need be. Hopefully we're in a car or something, but if need be, you have that option. You know, and as you get older, you're able to dole out more responsibilities and more of the total weight of the bug out equipment. So, and it's one of those things, like, you have to have a plan for this, and their ages factor into the plan, but then their ages are always increasing, hopefully. So your plan is always changing. There are some statics in survival, some things that never change, you know, i.e. like 2 drops of bleach purifies 32 ounces of water. Don't quote me on that. I'm trying to pull it from memory. I could be completely wrong. You know, bringing water to a boil, 212 degrees, kills pretty much everything, make it safe to drink. There are some statics, you know. And then everything else is in flux. Everything else is moving and changing. So you plan for what you can at the time. And that plan will constantly be changing. But you generally know, you know, if you plan your plan and you have an infant, you got some leeway there. You got a couple years before you really need to think about, you know, he's a little bit older now, toddler, school age kid, preteens, before you have to really change it. And then, as you're changing it, you're also teaching and training them why you have this, you know, without going into all the, you don't need to burden your kids at the time with, everything that you're thinking about and weighing in on. You know, like, what if there is a flood and we can't stay at our house because all the roads leading to our house are flooded, so we have to go stay with grandma? That's not going to scare kids, not really. You know, like, oh, it's just, you know, it's a fun vacation we're going to have, but we want to make sure that we have everything we need packed up and ready to go, so it's not a problem. You know, you don't want to say, look here, you little bastard, terrorists can shoot us up and we need to be ready. That's not how you do it. Plus, you shouldn't call your own kids bastards. Probably not a not a good thing. And, you know, unless you're fucking with them, you know, and they know, give them issues I'll talk to about a therapist later on. Anyway, the ages factor in is what I'm trying to say. And, you know, if you've been a prepper for a while and you've had kids, you've obviously thought about this a lot more than I have, since this is relatively new to me. And I've not thought about the infant baby side much until this episode. So, next we're going to talk about practice. So, practice, camping, hiking, all those things, getting them out there, getting them used to, you know, you kind of want to, like, and I was, part of my research for this episode, I was watching some videos, part of one, to be honest, not even a whole video. And, you know, as a prepper, you, the person listening to this podcast, cares more about prepping than anyone else in your family, unless you're a hardcore family full of preppers, your spouse, your kids, it's not their thing. But you can break it out and make it fun into little things. Like, you know, what was it, this past summer, when it was nice and warm, we went hiking. It was a very steep hike. We got a little lost. It was a fun time. Serenity didn't like some of the big hill. It was a huge hill. And it was too hot. You know, but we had fun. We got a little active. And, you know, we got to get through a lost situation, went off trail, you know, had fun, got back to the car. Good times. You know, we were prepared. We had water. We had snack bars. You know, it worked well. And it was a good preparation for if we had to bug out. You know, we knew some of the choke points. Like, you know, maybe these shoes weren't that good. You know, maybe we needed better snack bars because the ones we took were not great. And more water. I think we went through all of our water fairly quickly. You know. So yeah, practice. We need to, when it gets, I think, springtime, we might go on a camping trip. Maybe. Probably. Maybe. Anyway, but camping and hiking, great ways to sort of pull the scariness out of prepping. You know, and just have fun. Like, you're just breaking it down to the walking, the hiking part, the being in the woods, which is good. Camping, you know, you can start teaching your kids, your spouses, how to make fire, how to make shelter, you know, and have fun doing it. So, any way to sort of break out those parts and have fun with them without, you know, you don't have to say, well, if the Koreans nuke us, we might need to do this. You know, it's fun to do as a family, to just do it. And you, as you build those tendencies, you can, you know, it makes it easier if you have to do it. Another thing to do while that is, we're going to talk about sort of discipline. If you do have to bug out, you know, there are certain sort of OPSEC security things you want to address, but you don't really want to say when we're going through these woods, we want to be quiet in case there's some bad people around. But maybe you can tell your kids, going through here, we're going to play a game. Like, you, as you're hiking now, you can be going through a spot of the woods and say, well, let's just pretend there's monsters out in the woods and we're trying to be quiet so they don't get us, you know. I don't know if kids still do it, but our parents used to get us with the quiet mouse game, like, who can be the quietest? And then you always had that one jackass that's like, fuck, I lose, and just yell. But play some quiet mouse. Play, you know, games like all the twigs are lava. If you step on the twig, you're out, you know. Different little games you can play to instill that security mindset, kind of, without burdening them with the scariness of the situation, you know, and unless they get older. Like, if you have a teenager, you can kind of start to tell them more of the situation so that, you know, they understand it. But kids, it's probably better to just install discipline for them to listen to you on the trail. Like, you give them the serious dad mom face and like, okay, well, they're being serious now, I need to listen, you know. And you play these games so that they think, oh, it's a game, I gotta be quiet right now. I think that's far better than just being like, there's terrorists in the woods, kids, shut your fucking mouths. That's gonna cause like a crying fit, and then, you know, bad times. Oh, another drink of the kava, guys. Ugh. So yeah. And then, you know, like I think I've said, I'm fairly new to this. If you have some of these games and tactics, please leave a comment on the blog or leave me a voicemail. This will be posted on the web. You can drop a comment in there too. Let me know what you do. Next, and this is to give them responsibilities and increase those responsibilities as they get older and more responsible. You know, obviously an infant, toddler, you're not giving them any responsibilities. They can't do it. There's nothing they can do. So, you know, this is going to start from like the school age kids on up to your teenagers, young adults. As a young school age kid, 6 years and old and up or so, 5, 6, somewhere in there, you can have them do things like, you get to the campsite and go gather me all the little twigs and all the branches you can carry in your hands and just keep making a pile. And, you know, if you have more than one kid, make it a game. Who can make the biggest pile? They're going to do it. You gotta make camp and you gotta clear it out. You know, you make a game out of that. Give them responsibilities. different little things. Like, they get older, you could have them carry water. Different little things you can do. But yeah, give them responsibilities based on their responsibility maturity, what they can handle. You know, obviously you don't want a 4-year-old to go down to the stream and collect water. Probably not the best idea there. You know, you got a 12-year-old, probably fine to let them do that. You know, depending on their strength level, they may not be able to carry very much water, but they might be able to make several trips. You know, and then as they get older, if you have younger children, then you can sort of delegate some of that responsibility of looking after their siblings onto them while you take care of the heavier, harder, more important roles, which is another good thing you can have to do. Just like, keep an eye on your little brother, little sister, etc. So let's sort of dig into the age brackets and what you're carrying and what you're doing with them. So obviously, first of all, we got infants and babies. Obviously they have no responsibilities. You're in charge of everything for them, including carrying them,
feeding them everything. You know, whereas obviously for an infant, for a toddler, you don't have to worry about water because they're drinking milk. That's, you know, milk from titties or formula, whatever, but they're not drinking water. So that's one less thing of water you have to worry about. Although if you have formula, then you have to mix it with water, give or take. So yeah, really the first thing that pops up my mind is how are you going to transport said baby, infant, baby, whatever the age. So, you know, they have a lot of options now, and I think as more people are active with children, with babies, they are inventing new all the time. There's these weird wrap things, the slings. I've seen basically like tactical plate carriers for babies, which in a way I find to be really, really like just bizarre. Like you have a plate carrier type format, which is designed to stop a bullet from hitting you, and you're carrying a small child in it. I'm like, it's just like a weird body shield. Like it's something you'd see in like Hot Shots Part Trois. But you know, if you're just moving around the yard and going to Kroger and stuff, yeah, it looks cool and it does the job. You transport the baby. And you know, on the front side is probably the better way. Like weight distribution wise, like it would be easier to carry a baby on your back. But if you have a backpack back there, then you got to go to the front side. So will you do that? You would probably need to get a transportation carrier that, you know, fits and will work for, you know, both the dad and the mom, cause delegating that weight the entire time to the mom could be tiring. You have to take more breaks. Having it where you could swap it back and forth would probably behoove you. You know, do you need to think about a stroller? It's a extra heavy piece of equipment, but you know, it reduces weight and you're not carrying it. It reduces weight in that you could, you know, the stuff you have to carry for the baby, you know, like basically would be a baby bag. Everything you need for that, you could put in the stroller. It has pockets and straps and places to carry stuff. So you're not doing that. You go to your hands not being free. So it's a trade-off in that. You gain some stability. You know, obviously you have a better traction, really. You're not going to slip as much when you have that point of contact, like a walking stick, but it's a stroller. And that would help out a lot. We reduce your energy expenditure by not having to carry the baby and those extra items. I mean, hell, if you got the right one, you could probably carry a lot more on the stroller than just the baby needs. You know, you could have some other bug out bag items on there. Next up is feeding the baby. So if the mom is nursing, you would need less, but you still need some supplemental food. Like, you know, it's not a magic tap. One, you know, you're not always going to get a constant steady supply. Like, you know, a while ago, I posted something on Facebook about babies should be fed from titties and not from cans, and it went insane. You know, I had people going, "My goddamn wife couldn't make milk. You expect my baby to die?" It wasn't like I posted it before I went to sleep. This is when I worked on nights, so I went to sleep at like, you know, 10 in the morning. I got up, it had like 250 comments, and people were threatening to murder each other, and I'm like, Jesus Christ. People lost their shit. So, yes, I understand that in certain circumstances, you cannot feed your baby 100% from your titties. So having some backup formula would behoove you. It just would. I'm wondering if there is a, like a hiking pack formula like this. So the baby formula cans are not the most friendly for a backpack. They're bulky. They're a little heavy. You know, having one in like a Mylar pack or something, that would probably be a good idea. Or if you knew there was, so like if you're going hiking and you were going to take your baby, then transporting some of that to bottles to make them ready to mix with water, and or, you know, like a strong Ziploc bag or something, so it's more form factor wise, would probably be a good idea. If you are breastfeeding, then you want to make sure that you have the calories necessary for the mom to be able to successfully produce the milk for the baby. If the mom is starving, then she's not making enough milk, then the baby's going to be starving. See, it's sort of a snowballing effect here. So you want to take care of mom as well. And then, you know, is the baby eating any sort of baby food yet? Like, that's a infant, maybe not. Maybe it's straight formula. Gets to be a little bit in the further along in the baby stage, then some baby food. And they make some really, it's weird that I know this, but I work retail, so I see packagings and things, and I just notice things. They're making a lot of baby food now in like little squeezy packets, which would be great for a bug out bag. You know, the old, like, I'm not a big fan of plastic in general, but the glass jars that baby food traditionally comes in, bulky, easy to break, heavy. You know, glass is heavy, but these new plastic ones, they're easy to go. That you have, you know, obviously junk trash when you're done with it, but I think they're a great idea to throw in a bug out bag. Like, that's, if you have a baby that is eating baby food, I think it would behoove you. And I hope everyone's been taking shots when I say that today, to have some baby food in the little squeezy packets. It's most of them are just pureed straight ingredients, not even a lot of extras. So I did one time, should you prep baby food in your preps? And I got some, what was it? Pumpkin or butternut squash, or I got something, and I made a curry out of it, out of baby food. And it was fucking delicious, by the way. It was like a pumpkin spice chicken curry that I made. And boy, I tell you what, them babies ain't eating bad. I don't know what some of those like weird flavors, like potatoes, spinach, and chicken, like pureed together. But a lot of the just base plain ingredients. And I think that's fine. Oh my God. We went so long just talking about stupid baby food. It's a passion of mine, guys. Not really. You know, so having some of those pureed fruit foods, and then as they get a little bit older, maybe some of those, maybe some baby snacks, like some of that dry cereal or, just whatever babies eat, just something to snack on. You definitely don't want, there's no need to have a baby just crying and wailing, when you're trying to bug out. It does not behoove anybody. Next is diapers. So bugging out, you have to weigh your options here. Do you go with a bag full of disposable diapers, which is bulky and weighty? Do you go with cloth diapers that you have to wash? You know, when I was doing research on this, the person took a point very similar to mine. Like, it's probably a good idea to have a mix. Like, long-term wise, you're going to want to have the cloth ones,
But short-term wise, you definitely want to have the disposables to just be done with it. And hopefully on the trail, you're burying these fuckers. Don't throw them on the side of the trail. If you're hiking, obviously you pack them out, you find a trash can, you dispose of them. If it's a legit bug out, I think a mixture of both kinds would behoove you. You're at camp, you're settled in, you're going to be there for a little while. Probably a good time to use the cloth ones, and wash them out and, dry them and dispose, deal with them properly. But if you're on the move at the time and you have to change one, then whip out the disposable one and use it. You got to kind of be thinking, though, that these disposable ones are non-renewable resource. There's only so many you have. They're kind of like gold. You're like, is this really a disposable situation, or do I want to use one of my cloth ones? It's a bad situation. You got to keep moving. Use a disposable. You got more free time. Use the cloth ones. If you have a vacuum sealer, you can vacuum seal some of those diapers. They'll pop back up when you're done. The disposable ones. And then, once again, I had to do quite a bit of research because I've never had a baby yet. So you need to make sure you pack all of the baby accoutrement. Babies will need diaper cream, medicine, teething gel, pacifiers, baby powder, wet wipes, maybe even dry wipes. Like we said with the diapers, you can only carry so many wet wipes. If you don't close them and seal them properly, they'll dry out. So maybe also having some dry wipes that when you're at camp, you can clean and reuse makes sense. Ugh. Kava is some horrible stuff, guys. I'm just throwing that out there. Just going to throw that out there. Toddlers. I've also never had a toddler. But one, they're not going to be super dependent on milk unless you have like a weirdo toddler that keeps drinking milk and like titty milk way until they're too old and it gets to be creepy. You're going to need to give them water and they're going to eat real food. At that point, they're going to start eating more like the rest of the family. Kids have a lot of energy. Definitely need to give them some snacks. Snacks are going to be a fairly constant thing throughout all of the kids. As I have learned, and I guess you forget when you get older. Like I'm not a snack person as an adult. I would much rather just eat meals. And meals big enough so that I don't need to eat until I eat a meal. But I guess as a kid, I think I did like, I don't remember. Which is complete opposite. Serenity is a snack queen. Her and Skylar would love nothing but to eat snacks all day. I'd rather have like just some big meals but whatever. When you get to toddlers, you got to start thinking about their food, which in a way is a lot easier. At that age, you can probably give them a backpack. You can probably have them carry some stuff, a couple snacks, toys, things like that, they're not going to be able to carry a whole lot of weight. They're not going to be able to walk a whole lot. Like we were talking about earlier, they're not going to be able to move fast. You may need to find a way to transport them a little bit. I would not want to be bugging out and carrying a toddler. Would not. The article I was reading was talking about maybe having a garden cart or a wagon.
Yeah, maybe. You know, lots of like hiking practice may be able to build up their endurance so they're able to walk a bit more. They're not going to be fast. I mean, when you're in that toddler age, you know, they run around, expend a lot of energy, but they're not really, it's like these weird little bursts. Like if you take them out and like really run them hard, they're going to be tuckered out, and they're going to have tons of energy and lots of explosive energy, but then they're just like, they're down, you know, whereas like you get a bit older, they have more of a sustained energy. Like they'll just run and run and run and run and run and run and run. These kids are going to like run themselves and then be done. Like if you let them go that hard, you're going to be carrying them. So you may need to wheel them back a little bit and slow down their pace so they're not like, you know what? We went like, me and Serenity and, Mike and his wife and his kids, went like, trail hiking one time on this long path. Like it was a paved former, railroad. And, his youngest son kept like sprinting up ahead and then like just like barely moving, and then he'd sprint up and then he'd just barely move. It's a lot like that. And then it was a ridiculously long hike, like way like 10 miles, something stupid. Everybody was just dead at the end. Like, their daughter lost their shoes. The youngest son could barely move. It was fun times, guys. Fun times. So, yeah. At that age, maybe not even time to introduce in, like, the electronics yet. Like, they can bring some action figures or something and or whatever and just be fine playing with that. You're not going to be giving them a lot of responsibilities and chores. You're still pretty much watching them. When you get to camp, you could maybe have them gather up sticks around the campsite, very close, within eye distance. Text message. But yeah, you're still pretty much watching them and feeding them and caring for them constantly. So let's move on to the school age children's when we get to have a bit more, responsibility and fun and giving them weight to carry. So I said that a toddler could carry their own backpack. I meant a very tiny backpack with pretty much nothing in it except for, like, snacks. They're not carrying weight. School-age kids can carry... They definitely can carry their own backpacks. You're still not loading these down, though. You know, they can start to carry some of the survival gear, you know, like whistles and flashlights and stuff, on top of, and you know, like extra clothes and stuff, extra socks. It's a toned down bug out bag. You're not going to give them a bunch of knives and stuff. It's still mostly just based on like snacks and toys, you know, with some survival gear in there that they've been taught to use. You know, signaling stuff. Maybe even some ways to like contact, like phone numbers for the parents, stuff like that. This article, and they're becoming a lot more relevant, is like a personal locator beacon. They have a lot of these little tag things you can use to track with your cell phones now. Like you can like basically find things that you lose, and strapping these on your kids, great idea. You know, at this age, you're going to start being able to teach them more survival skills. Toddlers are not, you know, you're just out playing basically. These, you can start teaching them how to make fires, you know, how to do other like camping skills, you know. You could, if the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts weren't such stupid programs, you can enroll them in those.
Sorry, but I think the Boy Scouts have just gone full retard. And Girl Scouts, they make good cookies. I'll give them that. They make good cookies. You know, it's a good time to start teaching them respect for firearms. You know, it probably from birth always instill the respect and not the fear. I think fear is what leads to a lot of problems with firearms, but the respect and the discipline. So, you know, like it's a tool. It's dangerous. It's not to be played with. You know, that stuff definitely needs to be instilled in this age bracket here. You know, and there's a lot more things you can do around. Like, definitely have them clean up the campsite. Definitely have them gather some small firewood. You know, the twigs, the small branches. There's a lot of little tiny things you can have them do at the campsite. Let's see. Our last category is preteens and teenagers. Now we're really talking. So, basically about this age, they can get their own bug out bag. I mean, not just a little fledgling backpack with a couple snacks and shit in it. We're talking, they can have their own bug out bag. They can be taught, you know, how to successfully make a fire using their gear, how to properly and safely handle a knife. Depending on the shit hit the fan type scenario, these kids probably know how to use firearms at this point, depending on the situation. Their bags will probably include some form of electronics, depending on the scenario. You know, it's most of these kids are nonstop holding tablets and shit and MP3 players and whatever. So, and then, you know, when you're building their bags, really include them. Don't give them a bag and say, this is your bag. Help them pick the things in it. You know, like you're packing clothes, like let them pick their favorite shirts to go. You know, let them take their hoodies. You know, don't just involve them in it. So they take an ownership in their bag. They have pride in their bag. And they know how to use the things in it. I hate bug out bags that have everything. Like if you buy these pre-made bug out bags, everything's sealed in a packaging in the bug out bag and you don't know if it works, if it's good, you don't know if it's the right fit for you. I mean, there's a reason why the knife market, and if we even drill down further, the fixed blade knife market doesn't have one knife. You would think if there was a perfect survival knife, there would be one knife and everybody would own it. And yeah, there's a good case that everybody should own a Mora knife, and I own a few. I own at least two or three Mora knives, and at the price point and the quality, you probably should. But everyone has their own personal preferences. Like, you have big knife people, you have small knife people, you have mid-sized blade people, you have heavy choppers. You know, you have to factor in a lot of things in even a knife purchase so that you're getting one best for you. You know, your kids more than likely have a smaller hand than you. So you want something that feels good in their smaller hands, probably not something too heavy, you know? So let them try things out. Let them learn how they work. And involve them in it so that they're like, this is my knife and I'm good at using it and I'm good at maintaining it and sharpening it and cleaning it and I don't play with it. You know, it's a tool and it's for survival and it's not for, you know, throwing at cats in the woods. No. So, preteen teenagers, you're really starting to give them some responsibilities. They're definitely looking out for their younger siblings. They're doing things like gathering the water, building the fire. You know, if you're doing patrols, maybe they're helping with those patrols. They're keeping a lookout. You know, maybe they put up, you know, maybe in this situation, you don't just have a tent, you have a few tents, like, parents' tents, kids' tents, or, you know, boys' tents, girls' tents. Maybe they're putting up one of those tents. Maybe they're building one of those shelters. You know, maybe they're helping cook your meal. Maybe you're cooking dinner and they're, making oatmeal for breakfast or something. So, you know, at that age, you're really increasing their chores and responsibilities, and helping them out with that. Oh, kava kava, guys. You know, and so a lot of this, we're just talking about just practice runs, just sort of hiking and camping with your family, and that's one thing. But when the situation becomes real, you also have to be the parents and be there, like, emotionally for these kids. Like, it's, you know, as adults, we're a bit more better prepared for these drastic changes. For some of these kids, like, the satellites go down and they can't text their friends anymore and their devices all die. Sounds petty, but when you're used to a interconnected world and it goes away, it's going to be rough. You know, it's the entire world that they know is gone, or they just don't have current access to it. Maybe the spot, maybe the satellites and all that still work, but the spot you're bugging out through doesn't have reception, so they feel cut off. You know, so it's a good time to bond as a family, even if they don't know they want it. You know, keep them busy, keep them entertained. You know, and I guess on these practice runs, you'll build up these games, like, you know, board games and sort of mental games. Me and Mike used to play these sort of guessing games a lot. Like, a stupid one we play would be like, you'd start out with letters of the alphabet, like the letter A, and you'd have to name a fictional character with the letter A in their name. Be like, oh, Ant-Man, and then the next person would have to take on the next letter, which would be a B. You keep going and someone stumbles, and then really the person that didn't stumble gains a point. You know, just sort of mental thinking games. Teenagers are eating machines, so once again, you probably want to pack extra calories. They have a lot of energy expenditure. They're growing new bodies. Luckily, they can help carry some of these extra calories. And speaking of growing, you know, whereas you're an adult, you've stopped growing, generally, even though your waist may get bigger, you can buy clothes and then set it and forget it, basically. When you're a kid, you may need to revisit their bug out bags constantly, you know, to resize their clothing. There's no point. It's no good to bug out and all of your bug out clothing is now too small to wear. So, you know, much like we as adult preppers have to check our bags for expired things and swap those out, with kids, you're going to want to swap out their now too small clothing. And it's a lot. But that's about all I have for bugging out with children. Hopefully I didn't stumble through it too hard. I'm a little inexperienced in the child having realm. So I'm learning as you're learning. And if I know a lot of you guys out there have kids, maybe you can bounce some tips off and we could all share and grow as a community and, you know, grow. So that's it. DIY to bug out with kids, you guys.